That cold case you're listening to? Nasty stuff. But you know what else is a crime? Missing even a moment of whatever you're doing to go on a drink run. Luckily, there's Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. With Drizly, you can compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits, then get them delivered in under 60 minutes. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com today.
This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
This show has given me a bonus, and I hope it's given you one too. Welcome to the Decibel Geek Podcast. My name is Aaron Camaro, joined as always by my good friend, the ever-controversial Chris Sinzak.
How's it going?
It's going good, man. I see you making peace on the Facebook with people.
Sign up for the VIP if you want to hear about that. That's all I'm going to say.
Good stuff, people. Good stuff for the VIPs. Yeah. But great stuff for you today on the Decibel Geek Podcast. Man, we've been having so much fun here lately, and we're rocking into December. We're coming up on the end of the year. We're talking about our one of our great episodes that we do every single year at the very end is our year in review of this year. You know,
we do it at the very beginning of next year.
Right, yeah, more or less.
Well, because everybody does theirs at the end of the year. I like to wait an extra week.
That's true. In case we miss something, they go back and go, oh, yeah, Cobras and Fire said this, or BJ said that, or, you know, yeah, for sure. But I think I already got mine all figured out.
I'm a long way to go.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting for sure. But we've got a little ways to go before we get there. We got Christmas coming up, all kinds of good things. But today, we're doing something really cool. Mm-hmm. We've got a special friend coming over with us, and we're talking about special bonus tracks. And I'm going to tell you all about that in a minute. But one thing I got to do before we start the show, and that's taking care of a little bit of business. And my favorite business is when I open this up right there and take a look, I see 5 stars and it says great. And then there's some writing that I don't quite understand.
You can't read that.
What language is this?
It's Japanese.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It says by squiggly letter from Japan.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there I do see that. Wow, yeah. Wow, that's weird. Japanese typing is strange. It doesn't look like Japanese writing.
The review itself is in English.
It just says great.
No, look underneath.
That's in some other language, too.
No, it's not.
Hang on a second.
Maybe we're looking at two different things.
Hang on.
We're very well planned.
Oh, wait. Okay. Okay. It's written weird, though. Does it say, excellent program with guest interview.
With good interview.
Oh, with good interview. Chica?
Chico.
Japan.
From Japan.
Wow.
I'm gonna make a guess on who this is.
Okay.
There's a guy named...
Chico?
No. Shiaki, who hosts a show called Metal Moment.
Right.
It's also the Japanese metalhead show. He's a Japanese guy.
Sure. We talked to him way back in the day.
Well, this is like Chico from Japan, so I'm kind of wondering if it's him. But then again...
But his name's not Chico.
Maybe it's like a nickname.
We'll take it either way. 5 stars from the land of the rising sun.
I'll
How do you
it.
Like that?
I think it's great.
That's awesome. I love it.
I still think we should do an episode of like Japanese metal or something.
Easy O. That's about it for me.
Loudness.
Yeah, loudness. Mm-hmm. We'd have to do some research for sure.
David Glenn, who was a contributor to Decibel Geek, lives in Japan part time.
That's right. We just ask him.
Yeah. So he's
What's
pushed for us to
there?
Do that.
Huh? All these awesome American bands. The same bands you guys talk about are huge over here.
Yeah, Nickelback's big in Japan.
Those guys are big everywhere.
That's true.
Are they coming to the expo?
No.
Damn it. All right.
Or are they?
It's going to be awesome either way.
Yeah.
All right. So what else we got going on? Ah, our people, our friends.
Geeks of the Week.
You liked last week's episode, didn't you?
Yeah.
A lot of people did. Our Geeks of the Week shared it.
I thought we did a great job on last week's episode.
We were fantastic.
No thanks to Rich and Wally.
Those hosers are rehired.
Even though they didn't show up. All right. But yeah, no, they did a good job, and check out CGCM and check out their show because they're doing a great job.
They really are, man. I love their show a lot.
Taught them everything they know. All right. Geeks of the Week this week are Trevor McDougal, Brian Knapp, Sonny Pooney, Freeform Rock Podcast, Mark Alden Taylor, Wayne Cross, Dave Koska, Mike Grabowski, Aaron Baker, Brent Cattell, Growing Up Rock Podcast, Kenneth Roy, Sean Cullen, Shane Hebert, Andrew Jacobs, Adam Cox, Shane Hebert again, James Brendan Dunn, Cool World, Jay Shabluski, Digital Kill, The Radio Star, Alan Big Al Tape, Christopher Stokes, Save Rock and Metal, JJ Mack, Ernesto Aguiar, and Twisted Kister.
Twisted Kister?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What do you want to do with your life?
I know now.
All right. So this is one of those themes for an episode that it's amazing it took us this long to get to it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, and it took a returning DBG VIP to give us the idea.
That's right. That's right.
Brian Davis joins us again, and this is bonus tracks, and just a word of caution, if your bonus lasts more than 4 hours, consult a doctor. But Brian is the host of the Damn Good Movie Memory Podcast.
Memory Podcast, yeah.
Yeah, it's a better memory than mine. And you should check that one out for sure.
Yeah, for sure, because he's a cool dude, and I know his show is awesome. We talk a little bit about movies. Yes. I don't know if that's part of this episode.
Is it?
All right, cool. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah, near the end.
So get some good movie talk at the end of it. But in the meantime, you're going to get to hear some of the greatest songs throughout rock history that were considered bonus tracks. Mm-hmm. A little something extra for you this week.
Yeah, so check this out.
Yes. Yes.
All right, well,
I kind of was going with the Twin Peaks vibe.
All right, Aaron, you want to start?
Sure, I'll go first. Yeah, this is a pretty cool subject to try to figure out, you know, because you really go down the rabbit hole with the research on something like this, you know, because originally when you guys brought the idea to me, I thought, man, this is cool. Mm-hmm. I love this idea. I got a couple right off the top of my head I'd definitely go with. And then it's like, well, let me dig around a little bit and see what else I can find, you know. And so you think about your favorite bands, you know, and then it's like, what bonus tracks, what unheard things are out there that I don't know about? And all of a sudden I'm discovering all kinds of stuff. And this was one, I really like this a lot. It was off the Welcome to My Nightmare, the iTunes edition. It came out in 2011. This is one that our good buddy Chuck Garrick had a big hand in writing. And when I listen to this, like that Welcome to My Nightmare 2 was supposed to be kind of a throwback to like early Alice stuff. But to me, this song epitomizes like the early sound of Alice Cooper's solo career more than anything that ended up on the album. It's a great tune. I know you guys are going to dig it. And it's called Bad Situation.
Cheap imitations. I got a pain in the neck from this rusty old wreck that I drive. All the things that I missed, all the ass that I kissed to survive, stay alive. It's a bad situation. It's demoralization, like the state of the nation. I'm just a rat in the race, and that's a major frustration. I'm way underpaid. No, no, I never get laid. That ain't no exaggeration. I got a pain in the neck from this rusty old wreck that I drive. All the things that I'm
situation. It's demoralization, like the state of the nation.
Dig that one, and you're right, it's got a that's almost closer than anything else on the album.
I agree.
To the old sound,
totally.
Brian, had you heard that one before?
Yeah, that album's it was on the iTunes exclusive, I think. Yeah. And that album's all over the place. It's fun, but you have Kesha and you have just some crazy stuff on there, and it's a lot of fun to listen to. And like you guys said, that song is more close to classic Alice than anything.
Yeah, I agree.
That one really grabbed me the first time I heard it.
That album was a grower for me.
Yeah.
I didn't like it totally right off the bat. Although one that sticks with me, and it's really nothing like any other Alice Cooper song, is I Am Made of You. I love the vibe of that song.
Yeah, it's kind of spooky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're right. That album is all over the place, but I really like it a lot.
Yeah, that's a good choice for the first one.
And there's a few bonus tracks out there off of that one.
Yeah.
So if you guys love the Alice Cooper and you like that album, there's more songs out there. You can hunt them down.
One of my ran picks for this that I didn't end up going with, which was actually suggested by a number of listeners, was Can't Sleep, the Clowns Will Eat Me from Brutal Planet. Have you heard that one?
No.
That's a cool track. I almost went with that one, but I decided once you had your pick, I was like, all right, we're going to stick with one Alice song.
Yeah.
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 Sometimes you got to be quick with these things, you know? I got to hurry up and get my picks in so I make sure
that's
I get
the ones
I want.
First,
yeah. All right, Brian, what do you got for your first one?
All right, so I'm going to go with the band Airborne, and the song is Let's Ride. And so, you know, if you're into AC/DC, and you've likely heard about Airborne because they have a major and obvious AC/DC influence, and they're based out of Australia, mm-hmm. and their major label debut was Runnin' Wild, and it's just a terrific slab of hard rock with obvious nods to, like, Rose Tattoo and Motorhead, and of course AC/DC. And, you know, I even hear, like, kind of a young Brian Johnson, the vocal style of Joel O'Keefe. And I always think it's kind of really cool that he plays lead guitar in addition to his lead vocals, sort of like what Zakk Wylde does. And so the song I picked, Let's Ride, was only included on the Australian and New Zealand issues of that album, Runnin' Wild, from 2007. And it eventually was replaced by the song Hellfire, and that's the one that most people have heard. But I kind of wish they included both songs in the album, because they definitely both rule. And, you know, Let's Ride is just balls-to-the-wall hard rock. And Airborne's definitely a band to check out if you like no-nonsense hard rock. And I'm kind of surprised they didn't include it on their B-sides collection that was just released, called Diamond Cuts. But in any case, it's a kick-ass song, so definitely crank it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my first time getting to hear that, and it kind of blows me away, too, that that didn't end up on an album that anybody got to hear, because that stands up right up there stronger or just as strong as anything else on that album.
Yeah, and I think we're going to try to prove with this episode that, you know, bonus tracks aren't always throwaway tracks.
Right.
You know, they're, you know, because I know that gets slagged with that idea from a lot of people, but it's
it got cut for a reason, yeah, or it just wasn't good enough or whatever.
Well, a lot of, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of my picks are Japanese bonus tracks.
Yeah.
Know? And it's mostly because of the exchange rate making it cost more for in Japan to get these albums. So that's kind of I think that's the compromise that bands typically will throw a bonus track on the album.
Yeah.
And there's been some great ones on there. So for my first one, Brian, being a Bay Area guy, I thought I would pick something close to home for you. So I went with a YNT song. And
I appreciate it.
Yeah. And In Rock We Trust from 1984, band's highest charting album at the time, reached number 46, which is still way too low in my opinion. Came close to gold status. This album's got a lot of really good songs on it. Of course, you know, and we were talking before the show about how there's no subtlety in Dave Menichetti's lyrics and song titles. They're very on the nose. Like, I mean, they open the album with "Rock and Roll's Gonna Save the World." There's nothing subtle about that. One of my favorite songs on there is "Masters and Slaves." I love the guitar playing on that song. Of course, you've got "Lipstick and Leather," "Don't Stop Running." Those are always in the set list. Yeah. But this bonus track fits right in on the album. It's equally as good as all those songs, in my opinion. This is a song called "Go for the Throat."
I wanna be your loving man.
first time I've ever heard that one too, man. Yeah. I love that. That's cool. I'm talking about Dave Menichetti. What a horn dog that guy was.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's like most of his songs are about fucking, you know, all the time. Dave Menichetti going to town.
He may just have wanted to be an ear, nose, and throat doctor. You don't know that.
Man, he definitely gives Gene Simmons a run for his money with the innuendo, yeah, for sure, though.
I'm trying to protect Dave in these, you know, really challenging times,
right?
For guys.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Dave Menichetti sang a song to me in 1984. It really
1984 was a bad year for me out here.
It gave me special feelings.
That's right.
All right, well,
no, but this I hadn't heard the song either, and I love the drum sound. It almost sounds like kind of different for Y&T, but it's such a good song.
Yeah. And I was in the comments I saw on YouTube was a guy who saying that this was like his favorite song to drum along to.
I can see that. Yeah.
It's almost drum machine-ish. I don't know that it is. I'm sure it's still Leonard playing the drums, but it does have that sheen to it, almost that kind of that Keith Olsen drum production from that was so common in the 80s. All right, well, Aaron, it's back to you.
All right, well, this one's probably not too rare. I think most people that are fans of our kind of music have heard this one by now. It came off of the very first Ozzy Osbourne solo album back in 1980, Blizzard of Oz. It was a bonus track that got put on like later versions when the remaster thing really started kicking off. Ozzy Osbourne was on the case with that, you know, and he did it right by adding extra tracks on there that no one's ever heard before. Gave you a reason to go buy the album again because you knew you owned it the first time anyway. But man, this track is just killer. We used to actually play this on the radio like it was a brand new single in 2008 or whatever it was, you know. But it's so good, man. And I learned something new when we talked about this with our VIPs, what we were doing this week, and asked for some suggestions and some ideas or what they would have picked. I learned that this was actually an original Quiet Riot song.
Really?
That Randy brought in.
Oh,
and
wow.
Allegedly, as far as I know. And, man, Randy just kills it on this song. The solo is just a mind blower. And I got to imagine Ozzy Osbourne wrote this one about Sharon. You looking at me, looking at you.
Yeah!
you've heard that one before, right?
Not till recently.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I never bought the remaster when it came out, but I was listening to it today. It was like, it sounds like, you know, I always try, every time I hear something, I'm like, oh, that sounds like this, or this sounds like somebody else. I think, like, the verse parts sound like Iron Maiden musically, because it's got, like, that galloping bass line.
Yeah.
And then the chorus, though, sounds like it could have been an Ace Frehley song from, like, the late 70s.
Yeah.
I could have heard
the
Ace singing that song.
I could definitely see that.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm a nerd, so I try to make up my mind of different combinations. But, Brian, I guess you probably knew about it already, right?
I did, and unfortunately, this is kind of during the infamous era where Sharon had the guys re-record, you know, with Mike Borden, Robert Trujillo, over right. Lee Kerslake and Bob Daisley, and so that's when a lot of people got to finally hear this song. Unfortunately, it was under false pretenses,
right.
So
yeah.
I was always bummed they didn't ever re-release You Said It All, which was on the Mr. Crowley EP, and that's a great song.
I don't know if I know that one.
I don't know that one. Hmm.
Yeah, definitely check out You Said It All. I'm sure it's on YouTube and everything, but it sounds like it's totally done live.
That's awesome. Yeah, and Ozzy's come out with a ton of great bonus tracks over the years. That One Up the B-Side is awesome, and Party with the Animals is great. And
I love that song.
Don't Blame Me. Yeah. Oh, so many good songs.
Yeah, there's a lot to get lost in.
There's a lot up Ozzy Osbourne's dark sleeves.
Cool. All right, Brian, what do you got next?
You could probably do an episode just on Ozzy's, you know, unreleased stuff.
Yeah, totally could, and it would be an awesome episode full of great music.
That'd be cool to do.
So my next pick is the Mighty Judas Priest, and the song is called "Turn On Your Light." And in 2001, the entire Judas Priest catalog was re-released and included like all new mastering and bonus tracks. And for the most part, almost all of the bonus tracks came from the Turbo Sessions, which is from 1985, because the original idea was to have a double album entitled Twin Turbos. And of course, that never happened. However, a lot of those tracks eventually became Ram It Down. But anyway, it kind of made for a weird listening experience to buy all these remastered albums. And then you get to the bonus tracks and they sound like they have 1985 production. So it just didn't work for like Sin After Sin and, you know, albums from the 70s. The exception to the rule was Turn On Your Light, which appears on the Defenders of Faith reissue. Turn On Your Light is just a terrific song, and it's really kind of stripped down and sounds nothing like anything from Turbo. And I really love the acoustic guitars, and Rob's vocals kind of remind me of Before the Dawn, which, of course, was on Hellbent for Leather. If you're in the UK, it was called Killing Machine. I would have loved to see this live, especially when the band was doing an acoustic version of Diamonds and Rust during the Angel of Retribution tour. But in any case, the buildup of the song is so amazing, and you get a terrific explosion to the dual electric guitar solos. It's just fabulous, and to me this is just a forgotten gem that really should have been included on an original album, in my opinion. Why do I have to wait so long before you come into my life again? Seems as though forever until I can be here by your side too.
Yeah, kind of unpriest-like, but cool in its own weird way.
I do like how it builds. Like it's really dramatic sounding the way it plays out.
Well, good. And any day I get to hear a Judas Priest song I never heard before is a good day.
Yeah, and they've come up in discussion a lot lately. Actually, with our last guest that we just recorded with, we had a good time talking about them. Can't ever get tired of talking or playing Judas Priest.
I'm looking forward to their new album too.
Oh yeah, it's called Firepower. It's coming out next year.
Yeah.
So for my next pick, I went with this is kind of a definitely off the beaten path. This is an album that's not even in print anymore. You can have to buy it used off Amazon. Use our link, of course. King Cobra put out a self-titled album in 2011, and was released in April 2011 in Japan with 13 tracks, and on April 15th in 2011, and then North America in May with 12. So I wanted to pick something off the Japan version. It's the first vocalist to feature Paul Sorrentino on vocals. And it was the first since 1986 to feature Johnny Rod, Mick Sweeta, and Dave Hinserling, who was formerly David Michael Phillips. He went with his real name on bass and guitar, respectively. There's some good tracks on here. I think they did better with the album after this one. They kind of created more of their own sound. But this song, in my opinion, basically sounds like something they would have done with Mark Free, but with the gravelly, cool vocals of Paul Sorrentino. This is King Cobra with Red Flags.
A hot-headed Italian boy from the streets of New York, he moved to L.A. She's 27, she ain't got no job. She's no lady, she's taking him for a ride. Whoa, here we go again, making the go again.
is one rad song. I feel like I'm in 1984 all over again.
Never Say Die, Iron Eagle.
Sweet. So this was the first album with Paul Sorrentino. Yeah. Why did Mark Free leave the band?
Because he's no longer Mark Free.
So that was at that time?
Yeah, I think.
Marcy Free.
It was a couple years before that even.
Marcy Free.
Yeah, now he's Marcy Free. And,
right.
Although there's a band that he started, or she started, called Unruly Child, that's actually got some pretty good material.
And I was going to say, why couldn't she just keep singing for King Cobra? It's just not the right time for something like that,
I guess. Carmine Appice is a sexist. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, okay. Okay. Chris Sinzak said it, not me.
There goes that interview. I'm on a roll.
Man, you're blowing all kinds of interviews for us.
But no, I thought I like the 80s sound of that song. Had you heard that one before?
I hadn't. I kind of got a kind of a rat vibe from it, at least the guitar stuff. Yeah. I thought it sounded really cool.
Thanks.
It is pretty cool. I like it too.
All right.
Yeah. And those later albums with Paul Sorrentino are really good. They're definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. I got to meet him at NAMM last year, and he was super nice. Really cool guy. And I know.
Awesome.
And they're recording and going to release a new Rough Cut album soon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's nice. Oh, awesome. I like that.
Billy Hardaway's excited, I'm sure.
I bet he is. I'm excited. That's awesome.
Cool. All right. Well, it's back to Aaron.
Okay. So we mentioned how we like to talk to our VIPs a little earlier, and this is one where I was actually influenced by them, because after we put it to them and asked them, you know, what are some of your favorite bonus tracks, the list went on and on and on with all kinds of great stuff, and it actually made me change my pick when I saw somebody on there talking about the song Living for the Minute. This was a song that was used as a B-side for Nothing But a Good Time,
right,
on Poison's second album, Open Up and Say Ah. Mm-hmm. This is a song that, you know, why put Your Mama Can't Dance on the album when you got something like this sitting there ready to rock?
Right.
This is a killer Poison song. It's the band through and through. If you like Poison, this is what you like about them, I would think. So check it out. It's Poison with Living for the Minute.
Yeah. Wake me up now.
Heavy metal masterpieces, now even heavier. Osbourne, Blizzard of Oz Expanded Edition.
Mr. Crowley.
Features never before released bonus tracks. Diary of a Madman Legacy Edition.
Over the mountains.
Includes a previously unreleased live bonus disc. Available individually or in a collector's edition box with vinyl albums, DVD of rare live footage, exclusive book, and more. So
ride back to school.
All right, before we get back into our conversation with Brian covering the awesomeness of songs that for whatever reason weren't considered part of the main album, why? We'll never know. But we enjoy those and we celebrate them here today. Before we get back into that, I want to let you guys know that if you love the Decibel Geek podcast, and I know that you do, what you really should be asking somebody for Christmas is a VIP subscription. Become a DBG VIP today. And what you get is all kinds of good stuff. We've got the Chris and Aaron show that's going on 60-plus episodes now. You get it from all the way back to number one.
Yeah, it's a good backlog now.
There's some hilarious stuff. Let me tell you, we are only half as funny on the Decibel Geek podcast because we're trying to rock and roll and, you know, be serious and talk about music, you know. But on Chris and Aaron, when we don't have no subject to stick to, we go off the rails sometimes and have some crazy conversations.
But if you want a music discussion, though, there is a good drunken Def Leppard versus Bon Jovi argument that I'm still not – I still don't remember who won.
I think it ended up like it was a battle of who was worst.
No.
Well, on one end anyway. Right. But, yeah, it was a drunken argument.
Yeah, it was.
It was funny.
But that's just...
And I got scolded that night.
Yeah, there's a lot of Vinnie Vincent talk. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes talk. You get to hear about interviews we're planning. You'll get to hear about interviews that fell through. You'll get to hear about all kinds of stuff. And we solicit ideas from you guys if you're a VIP.
Yeah, because
some of your song picks get used.
Right, because once you're a VIP, then you become part of the exclusive VIP group. And that's where Chris and I do all our conversating at.
Yeah.
Those are the people we spend the time with. You know, you could become one of us and become part of that group. And then, you know, you're getting your input into the show much more than anybody else. You're finding out information way sooner than anybody else.
You are.
And you've got access to some really cool stuff in the archives that include live events like Farm Rock when I ran, you know, just nights when I'm running around with the Zoom in my pocket. You know, we got stuff coming up from the expo. I tried to release some of that last week. You can ask Rock and Ron. He'll back me on this. I tried to release some of the much awaited for Rock and Pod Expo footage for our, or audio for our VIPs. And there was a problem with it, so he sent it back to me, and now I'm working on fixing it.
Gotcha.
So it's coming real soon for our VIPs, along with all that other stuff. It's simple. It's easy. Go to patreon.com. Look up Decibel Geek on there. You find us. You find your subscription level. There's some that are really very inexpensive. There's some that's more, and there's an opportunity for you to host the show with us.
Like today.
Like we're doing right here today, you know, proof that it works.
Yeah, Brian's done it twice, so we're doing something right.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun for him. It's a lot of fun for us, and we love talking about the bonus tracks today.
Absolutely.
So we got to let you know, because we're ready to get back to the rock and roll. We do something here. You can help us out. It's our Amazon link at decibelgeek.com. There's all kinds of great stuff to find at decibelgeek.com. Spend some time there. And when you're doing your Amazon shopping, heck, right now everybody's doing it. It's the holiday season. Everybody's buying gifts. It doesn't have to be anything. You can buy everything at Amazon. All you got to do is hit that link on our website before you do your shopping. Takes you to Amazon. You guys know how this works. I shouldn't have to explain this every single week, but here I find myself doing it again for people that just might not know.
We'll do so, listeners every week.
Let's cut to the chase. You help us out by doing your shopping through Amazon at our website, decibelgeek.com. Amazon kicks us a little something because you did it. Doesn't cost you anything. They give us the list of what you bought.
Yeah, and this week the damn report wouldn't export for me, so I had to take a screenshot of the list, so it's not as detailed as it as normally is. And I'm not going to read all this stuff because there's a lot.
Oh yeah, there is a lot.
You guys,
holy moly.
You guys did good. There were 25 things bought in the past 7 days, so that's
nice.
Pretty awesome.
Thank you guys.
A Klutz string art book kit. A Kiss the Elder Volume 2 Odyssey. That's a comic book.
Oh, cool.
Which I didn't know there was an Elder comic book. Let's see.
I gotta add that to my Christmas list.
No Regrets, the Ace Frehley book was bought.
Right on, that's cool.
A 10-pack of Memorex CDRs, so some people are still buying CDs.
Good for you.
A Funko Pop movie Star Wars Princess Leia bobblehead was bought. A Chickenfoot CD. I didn't know Ian Wadley shopped our link.
Oh.
Let's see, and I know I'm going to get a message from him. How come anytime Sammy gets brought up, you say it to me?
Because we know it's true.
Right. Let's see.
I hope you guys caught me on the Rock and Metal Combat podcast with those guys talking about Lizzie Borden.
I was listening to that record
today.
It was
fun.
Such a good
great album.
And no, track two is not my favorite album, the favorite song on the album, because it's a soft one. Fucking dicks. It's like assholes. All right. And then
you got to do it.
Yeah. The Crow on Blu-ray was purchased. That's a good one. The official Nerf N-Strike Elite Series dart refill was bought.
I see a couple of different kinds of toys on here. That's cool.
A Doctor Who TARDIS custom non-slip machine wash something. Probably a shirt.
That's kind of sexual device.
I don't know. An Echo Dot second generation. And on and on and on. A lot of stuff was bought. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Go to decibelgeek.com. Find all your cool articles, photos from bands that are playing all over the world. Yeah. There's concerts that we can't go to. There's albums we haven't heard yet. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking about picking up an album or maybe putting an album on your own Christmas list, somebody says, what do you want for Christmas? You go to decibelgeek.com. Yeah. You read some of those awesome reviews from our kick-ass, top-notch rock and roll journalists, and you're going to know exactly what to put on your Christmas list. You're going to say, oh, I need this album. Oh, I need that album. But Christmas time is here. Do your shopping at Amazon.
Speaking of new albums, we will do the LA Guns album reaction
one of these nights.
We're a little late on that. Sorry.
Yeah.
But hey,
we're going to try doing some more of that kind of stuff.
That's going to be a regular feature going forward. All right. So let's
get try.
Let's get back to bonus tracks with Brian Davis.
All right, so I'm going to go with Badlands, and the song is Ball and Chain. So, I mentioned when I was first on your guys' podcast, I think it was Radio Sucks 25, how much I love Badlands and how underrated I think they are. And, you know, if any band should have been bigger from that era, that's one of my top picks. You know, Ray Gillen had an amazing voice, terrific range, and, of course, Jake E. Lee's playing was completely top-notch and totally different than his work with Ozzy. Plus, the debut had the wonderful drumming of Eric Singer. So this is kind of an interesting pick because I wasn't sure if it would qualify as a bonus track, but the original LP release did not include Ball and Chain. The final song of the album was intended to be the moody power ballad Seasons. Ball and Chain was included only on the CD and cassette releases and considered an exclusive bonus track for those formats. And so this kind of happened quite often back in the late 80s and early 90s, especially with artists on Atlantic Records, because the labels were kind of trying to switch away, you know, switch their buyers away from LP into like the CD format. And to entice them, they would include these kind of bonus tracks. As for the actual song, it totally fits on the album. It's awesome and sleazy hard rock, killer intro riff that just really powers the entire song. And this is actually one of my favorites on pretty much a damn near perfect album. And I can't speak more highly of Badlands, and especially this album.
Lost in my soul, 'cause I feel like I'm falling through a
To it.
Oh, it's so
song
good.
Rules.
Yeah, it does.
That's there's nothing. Yeah, you know they were on a real roll, and even the bonus material is as good as the album.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah,
that's pretty wild too. You think about how back at that time, that record companies were really trying to steer people away from LPs, and how it is now. You know, I remember like I've told the story a million times. Uncle Bruce is letting me buy all his LPs because. Cassettes, they're the future. And then now, cassettes are worthless.
Well, now they're actually coming back in fashion.
They're hipster.
They're the hipster trend now.
It's got to be that's just got to be a hipster thing because there's cassettes have no redeeming value when it comes to either LP or CD sound.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you like the when you've played it a million times, get your number two pencils out and tighten that thing back up.
Nothing worse than being in the middle of a great song and all of a sudden your tape gets eaten and spits it out all over the place.
Or a cassette tape that you just love and listen to all the time, and then the day comes where it just comes spooling on out of there. And then you work so hard to get it out of the grabbers, and it breaks, but you get some stupid scotch tape, but then there's always that skip spot in there.
Mm-hmm.
Damn cassette tapes.
It's like your stereo bukkakis all over you.
It's terrible. It's a terrible feeling.
That would be a great band name. Stereo Bukkake.
Stereo Bukkake. I don't know how many people will be showing up to your show for that, though.
Well, it'd be like Gigi Allen,
Yeah. Like if you like Gigi Allen, you'll love Stereo Bukkake.
You'll love.
Dress as though you were attending a Gallagher show.
Right. Break out the vinyl tarps. Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
All right, so is it my turn?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so for my next one, I've got, this one. This is a cool one. And you talk about an era of a band that is grossly underrated. I'm talking about the Cross Purposes album by Black Sabbath that came out in 1994. Nobody was paying any attention to Black Sabbath by this point, especially by this point because Ronnie James Dio had left the band again. They did the Dehumanizer album in 92, I believe.
It's a great album.
And, that piqued a little bit of interest, and then he left, and then I think most people were like, well, what's the point? But they brought back Tony Martin, who I think is criminally underrated as a singer.
Oh, yeah.
I love the vocals he brought to the band. I always have. And Ronnie and Vinny Appice left, or Appice, however you want to pronounce it. And then they also brought in former Rainbow drummer Bobby Rondinelli. And then Geezer was in the band until the end of this year, and then he left.
Wow.
So, a lot of change going on in the Black Sabbath world. But there's some really good material in here. It opens with Eyewitness. You've got...
it's a great song.
Psychophobia is pretty cool. Immaculate Deception.
I like that.
Cardinal Sin is a great song.
Yeah, Cardinal Sin's awesome. Ooh, I love that song.
But
so underrated.
So for a cool bonus track from this album, I believe this is also on the Japanese version. This is a song called What's the Use?
Every day of living is spent learning and listening.
So weird, because by that point it's like they don't really have any kind of redeeming quality that makes them Black Sabbath,
and that's why they said, "What's the use?
What's the use?" Yeah. Not in its own right, that era of the band is awesome. The songs are great. The musicianship is great. Tony Martin's an awesome singer, but when I think of Black Sabbath, it really is nothing to do with that band. Yeah. And by that point, Sabbath has been gone for a long time. If you were an Ozzy fan, you dropped off a long time ago. Mm-hmm. If you held on through the Dio years, that's ups and downs. And then by the time Tony Martin comes in,
or comes back,
and comes and goes and returns and comes back, and all this stuff in that era to me is just Tony Iommi.
It's
Tony Iommi solo projects ever since, Seventh Star on.
Well, a lot of those albums were, he was forced to call them Black Sabbath. The record label was like, we're not going to release it unless you put that name on there.
Yeah.
So,
like the Glenn Hughes album.
Exactly. Right. Oh, yeah. I love that record.
Oh, me too.
But, they were still close to doing work with, what was it, Ice-T?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and was it Forbidden?
Forbidden.
Yep. Oh. I actually like that song.
You and Victor Ruiz are the two people in the world that like that album. I hate that record. But
it's different for sure. And that's a totally different singer there, too, on that one. So, Black Sabbath, it's weird times. And, we just did our 300th episode a few weeks back, but that was one that I meant to mention when we were talking about it, was the episode we did on the Other Side of Sabbath with Rob, and it was the Tony Martin era.
Yeah.
That was like one of the first episodes I did where I felt my brain swell.
We worked hard on that one.
I am so much smarter than before we recorded this.
I spent like two full weeks really dissecting that whole part of the catalog, because I'd never really given it much of a chance.
I like to recommend that episode to people that have never really listened to any of that, because we knocked it out of the park with that episode. I'm still proud of that one all these years later.
I think we even made Rob like some of that stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah. He was begrudgingly like,
so what is your what is your guys' favorite Tony Martin album of that era?
I guess I'd have to go with Headless Cross. I think that's the best one. Another, I'm partial also to the Tear album, or Tire, or however you want to pronounce it. This one's good too, though. Cross Purposes.
I think I got to go with Cross Purposes. I think I like this.
Yeah,
one
and it's
best.
Kind of known also because I think Eddie Van Halen co-wrote Evil Eye too, even though he didn't get credit because of the whole record label issue. But that's what, according to that's of lore, that he co-wrote and potentially played on it, though they cut out his guitar parts.
Wow! Can you imagine being in a room? Tony Iommi's over here, he's got a guitar. Eddie Van Halen's over here, he's got a guitar. And they're in the same room.
That's Stereo Bukkake.
Yeah.
That's Stereo Bukkake.
I think we have a new duet album title already.
We do.
Now guitar battle to the death.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And they'll cover Love Gun.
Oh, God. Or Christine 16, yeah.
We're devolving, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, doubtful.
All right. It's back to you, Aaron.
All right. Here's one. This is cool, man. One of my all-time favorite bands. We should probably play more of them around here. I feel like every time we do play them, it's like, man, when was the last time we played any Tesla?
It's been a while.
We're due. And this is one of my all-time favorite Tesla songs. This one came out in 1995 when Tesla came out with the Times Making Changes, the Best Of album. And, of course, that's stacked with all kinds of great songs over the years. But what always struck me as funny is all the songs on that album that were their biggest hits. And then they got this new song on there that... Man, it stands toe-to-toe with what they consider to be the best of Tesla. I consider this song to probably be, man, right up there with my favorite Tesla songs of all time. This one just blows me away. I love it. I just rock out every time I hear it, which isn't often enough. But today you can rock out with me because I love it. This is Tesla with a tune called Steppin' Over.
Never said I knew all the right things to do, but I know when something's wrong. Why would you choose something knowing that you lose once again? It's lost and gone. Never gonna change, 'cause you made up your mind. Ain't nobody stopping you crossing that line. You're stepping over to the other side with nothing real and only a feel for how it makes you feel inside. I know, although it seems the best is going and it's always good, and you're stepping over. Wish you knew a way and all the right things to say on the no way. What I said, I remember when you used to be a friend I could talk to, and I trusted you. You say it doesn't matter, but did you want it this way? Ain't nobody stopping you or taking it away. You're stepping over to the other side. Real and only appeals to how it makes you feel inside. I know, although it seems the best is going and it's always green. You're stepping over to the other side. Hoping you open your eyes and you see it right. I'm still hoping. I keep dreaming. You set it aside, start feeling alive. Only I'm lying to myself. If it doesn't matter, then you're losing your mind. Ain't nobody stopping you. Cross that line, you're stepping over to the other side with nothing real and only appeals to how it makes you feel inside. I know, although it seems the best is going and it's always green. You're stepping over to the other side, stepping over to the other side. Nothing real and only real, but how it makes you feel inside. I know, although it seems the best is going and it's all
I love that song.
That's a great one.
Yeah, I remember buying that. I already had all their stuff, but I bought that album just for that song.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Yeah. It's so good. You got to have it.
That's another West Coast band, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, out of Sacramento.
Sacramento guys.
Nice.
Cool. All right, yep. Well, Brian, what have you got next?
All right, so next I'm going to go with Skid Row Day, and as most fans know, Beggar's Day is the track that was included on the clean version of Slave to the Grind instead of Get the Fuck Out, and it was also included as a bonus track on their Japanese release of the album. You know, as much as I love Get the Fuck Out as a teenager, and I still do, but the better song, in my opinion, is Beggar's Day.
Yes.
And ideally, both tracks should have been included on the album, and I'm kind of still waiting for the re-release of this album that includes both tracks. In any case, Beggar's Day just has a terrific intro that sounds unique and kind of different than anything else on the album. And the breakdown's killer, and the twin guitar solos are just terrific. They're really well done. And, of course, Sebastian's just, kicking ass all over the place. I'd love to get the story behind this song. So if you guys plan on doing another, Albums Unleashed, please do it for Slave to the Grind, because your episode covering the self-titled debut is just amazing, and Slave really deserves the same type of treatment.
Do you remember what episode that was?
I don't remember the number, but you're busted because we already did it.
Oh, really?
Come on, man.
Yeah, that was the
wait. I thought you only did the self-titled.
No, the first one we did was Michael Wagner for Slave to the Grind.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. I knew
it was too good to be true.
I got a feeling you're going to like it.
I think we talk about that song.
I know we do.
Yeah, we do. Okay. So listen to that and you'll get your answer.
There you go.
Awesome. I love that song.
Awesome.
But the funny thing is when you were a kid, I know all three of us are about that age. We all bought Slave to the Grind when it was new.
You want the dirty version?
Yeah. Which copy did you buy?
Yeah,
the same one as me. The one with Get the Fuck Out on it, because
the F word. Ooh.
It's got the sticker. Yeah. You know, you got to have this album with the sticker on it that warns you there's some bad stuff on here.
Yeah.
And that song is just so over the top. You know that it was when I talked about this a little while back with the VIPs during the Chris and Aaron show about my days working at a strip club as a DJ when I was younger. This was always my closing song. Party's over. Yeah. Get the fuck out.
Right.
But you get a little older, and you get back to finally get to hear that other song, and it's like, wow, I wish I'd have been listening to this song all along. If I had to choose between the two, I agree with Brian. I go with Beggar's Day every time.
Oh, I would too. And also, you know, that intro guitar part is very reminiscent of, like, Paperback Writer by the Beatles or Last Train to Clarksville by the Monkees. It's got that
rocked out.
Yeah.
It's got that same sound to it.
Yeah. Very hooky, very catchy.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Skid Row songs,
I love
for
it.
Sure.
Fantastic song. Okay, so back to me. And, you know, and we had a hard time. I had a hard time narrowing my list down. So this one came up, you know, as Aaron said, a few came to mind right away. But then you start going down the rabbit hole and you start researching.
Yeah.
And then you start realizing, oh, wow. And then you start picking up that there's a bunch you had never even heard before.
And then you forget you're supposed to be doing research.
Right. Oh, God. Yeah. I think about 3 or 4 nights ago, I spent like a good 4 hours just listening to bonus tracks all through the internet. And this one I didn't even know existed because I had just the regular digital version of the album when it came out. And that was the Infestation album by Rat that came out in 2010. And, it was their seventh. It was their seventh studio album in 2010. That's a long gaps of time between albums.
Sure.
It's also the first studio album with Carlos Cavazo on guitar.
It's a hell of a comeback album.
Yeah, and the last one with Robbie Crane on bass because he was finishing his time out with the band at that time because Juan hadn't come back, and I'm happy to say it's the last album to feature Bobby Blotzer. Came out
probably the last one ever.
Yeah, probably. Well, I know Steven keeps saying they have something they're working on.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That'd be nice, I guess.
Also the first album since the death of Robin Crosby, and I've got a friend calling me on Facebook.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. And but no, this album was a huge return to form, and I read interviews with, you know, Steven and Warren saying that it was a concerted effort to make it sound like the album that would have come out between Out of the Cellar and is it Dancing Undercover?
Yeah.
Would have come out during that era. And they pulled it off, in my opinion. And they're like, there's an unsung hero in this. This is the producer, a guy named Elvis Basquiat. And he co-wrote almost every song on here.
Oh, yeah?
And so I think he probably was a big fan and helped corral them into, you know, pulling off that old sound. And of course, Best of Me is the big single that came out from, and I'll never forget when Best of Me came out, like the video even looked cool. And that song was a huge surprise. Cause I don't think a lot, especially after the 99 self-titled album, which has some moments, but I think a lot of people were like, oh, well, what is a Rat album going to sound like?
Right.
And then that came out and I was like, wow, they sound like Rat. You know? So that was and there's a lot of great songs on this record. But this this bonus track fits right in, and it has the same 80s type sound. This is a song called Scatter.
Like a thief that's running through the night. Scatter!
see. Saw the signs of dead and realized you went the other way. So stop your lying, stop realizing.
Guys, heard that one before?
I've heard that whole album, but not that one.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I made sure I went out, and they actually included that song and a few like kind of like rock line acoustic tracks of older Rat songs on that too. And that's a cool song. And you had mentioned Elvis Basquiat, and I guess he also I think produced Slash's solo records with Miles, and he's definitely kind of up there with rock producing now.
Yeah, he got great tones and sounds on this one.
Yeah, he made him sound like $1 million, like they used to, you know, back when they were really firing on all cylinders.
Well, it's got that 80s kind of bombastic sound, big drums, huge guitar sound, and
that works for Rat. Yeah, it works for them.
Awesome. All right, well, Brian, what do you got?
All right, so my last pick is Lynch Mob, and the song is called Love in Your Eyes. And so this is one of the Japanese only bonus tracks from the self-titled 1992 Lynch Mob album, which featured Robert Mason on vocals. So most fans, most fans of Lynch Mob kind of immediately dismiss this album and favor Wicked Sensation, which to me is kind of unfair. I'm not saying that the 1992 album is better than Wicked Sensation, but I think there's a lot of kick-ass material on the self-titled album, and this bonus track really shouldn't have been on the original album. It actually kind of reminds me of something like a cross between Wicked Sensation and something that could have been on Back of the Attack Back for the Attack from Dokken. And of course, George Lynch's playing is stellar, and as you would imagine, I've always enjoyed Robert Mason's voice, and I think he's totally underrated and often forgotten in hard rock. And I know Chris and Aaron are always requesting strange and perverse items from the Amazon link. So
that's Chris.
I suggest everyone
guilty.
So I suggest everyone go out and check out Robert Mason's band that he was in after Lynch Mob. Wow. And wait for it. His band was called Big Cock.
Yes.
And going back to King Cobra, Dave Henserling was actually in Big Cock and plays guitar, and they definitely have a tongue-in-cheek Steel Panther vibe. Yeah. So check them out. Use the Amazon link, and also check out Robert Mason in the current lineup of Warrant. They're putting out some good stuff.
Yeah.
So do you think that Big Cock named themselves that so their fans would, they'd have a whole bunch of people saying, I love Big Cock?
Oh, I guarantee it.
That's better. I was going to come back and be like, so Brian, let me understand. You really love Big Cock.
Oh, you beat me to the joke. I beat you to the, I totally stepped on your joke. I'm sorry.
No, seriously, yeah, that reminds though, me of it's, the, it's a great
in
band.
The movie Private Parts when they're doing, you know, Big Cock coming out of your mouth and dirtier than, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
I love that.
No, I recommend that album too. That's good stuff. You know, it's like you say, it's kind of got the humor to it, but the guitars in it are just over the top, just killer. And Robert Mason's awesome.
Yes.
Me and Metal Mike met him and got to hang out with him for a little bit here in Nashville a couple years ago.
Right.
He was a super cool guy.
I got to wave at him and that was all I got to say. But you guys ended up going to the bar after.
Right.
Yeah, for a great episode that no one ever heard except us.
That's right. And then and then he did with Lynch Mob too, he did that Revolution album or Revolution or however it goes.
Yep.
And they covered some old Dokken tunes on it with Robert singing it. And, man, he...
That dude can sing the phone book.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
He adds a whole lot to them songs. And not to say, you know, he's better than Don Dokken or Don Dokken's better than him.
I'll say it. He's better than Don Dokken.
But he adds a...
Especially now.
that Revolution album is killer.
Yeah. Dokken needs to change their name to Talkin.
You've heard the story about Robert Mason. They actually sang backup vocals behind the during the Osmosis tour.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of, there's some good stuff about that.
See, and that just goes to show his talent because, you know, he never goes without a gig for too long.
Right.
That's right.
All right. And I highly recommend the new Warren album with Robert
Sanger. Yeah, it's good.
There's a lot of good tracks on that song, that album.
It's really good.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron, you got your last one.
All right. So when we decided to do this, I thought, what is the greatest bonus track of all time? Boy, I gotta think back. What could be the best? Like none better. Then I thought, well, that had to happen way back in 1977 when Kiss invented the bonus track.
They invented the bonus.
They totally invented the bonus track on Kiss Alive 2. Because you know, Kiss Alive was just a big old live album, but with Kiss Alive 2, you got bonus tracks and some damn good ones.
I gotta correct you.
What?
ZZ Top did that concept first. That's where Kiss got the idea.
Oh, yeah. Fandango, right? Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. It was I think it was Fandango.
Yeah, I think so.
Like three live sides and a fourth studio side.
Well, that doesn't really support my argument here very much. Thank you, Mr. Professor Sinzak.
Sorry.
We're talking about Kiss Alive 2.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about Rocket Ride. We'll be right back. Spaceman. Yes. Look, it's rock and roll. Kiss, inventors of the bonus track.
I knew your number one would have something to do with Ace Frehley.
Well, I was thinking about it, and it's like, well, duh, Kiss Alive 2. Bonus tracks right there, the fourth side.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with any of those songs. Well, almost any of those songs.
I like all of them, actually. Yeah. Yeah, even Any Way You Want It, I think.
Yeah. Cool.
Any Way You Want It's a little, I don't know, not at the top of the list of my favorite Kiss songs, but I tell you, Rocket Ride is right up there at the top.
Rocket Ride.
God, I love that solo. I love everything.
The drumming
about
that song. Pretty spectacular, too.
I love everything about it.
Yeah. All right.
And it was a total precursor to what eventually would become his solo album. Yeah. So you could see where he was going with that.
Yeah, definitely. Can you imagine throwing that on the solo album? Jesus.
God.
Oh, we're not going to let him play on any of our songs. He's tearing it up enough on his own. Boy, he's really going to be out of control, egomaniac.
So did we skip a song for Brian? Or no?
I did all five.
Okay. Yeah.
Are we done? Is that the end of it?
I've got one more.
Okay.
I've got one more, and then we're going to come back and talk to Brian about his show a little bit and movies, and then we'll have a playout song that I specifically
picked. Do you have one more, or is I that have the one playout
more.
Song?
No, I have one more, and then we'll have the playout song after.
Okay, so let's hear yours, and then we'll talk, and then, let's do
it. Okay, so Aaron's actually heard this before because I cracked him up playing it for him a few months ago.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
There's a band called Ed Guy, and I've played them before, but if you're newer to the show, you may not be familiar with Ed Guy.
Love Tiger.
Yeah, Love Tiger. One of the best songs ever written. They're a power metal band from Fulda, Germany, and they were formed in 1992 by 14-year-old students Tobias Sammet, Jens Ludwig, Dominic Storch, and Dirk Sauer. The name Ed Guy was an affectionate epithet for their math teacher at the time. So this band goes back to childhood.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play the bonus track from the album Space Police Defenders of the Crown that came out in 2014. It's one of my favorite albums of the year. Mm-hmm. And it was really my first exposure to Ed Guy because they've done a lot of albums before this one.
Yeah, I remember that. That was my first time I ever really listened to them either. For some reason, I just thought it was something else than what it is.
Most of the rest of their catalog is more straight up power metal, you know, and it's got that progressive sound to it. But this album is probably heavier, more commercial, hard rock. But it also has a lot of humor in it too. Like these guys don't take themselves too seriously. And, there's a fantastic cover of Rock Me Amadeus on this album.
Wow.
It's like a metal version of that. And, Love Tiger, there's a song called The Realms of Baba Yaga. There's a lot of funny stuff on this record, but it's all performed really well. And Tobias Sammet, he's also part of the band Avantasia who, you know, they've done a million albums too. The guy's got an incredible voice. And this is a song, a very tongue-in-cheek song, about their love of all things England, especially Steve Harris from Iron Maiden. This is Ed Guy with a song called England.
It's been a long time since I've been with you. You may be grey-green, but matchless and wine. I want you to sniff. Of you went to Birmingham New Street to take a ride of a rock with dirt on a suspiciously panting train. High on diesel fumes, I pondered on my way. I may like me. Steve Harris. England, I know I may have explained it somewhere before, but I swear it wasn't my idea to contrive that silly one. Okay, I've got to admit this was an improper try of a joke, but it rhymed. Talking humor, you get to know I'm just another German bloke who loves afternoon tea and Bob Capley and Mr. Bean, who loves to buy miniature phone booths and cute little snow globes raining snow on a cute little queen. Mostly you're joy.
tissue outs are highly overrated. Vienna's got Mozart, Chopin they had in Paris, kind of. The Catholics got the Pope, England's got the Beatles, and even more so, England's got Steve Harris.
It makes me want to move there, yeah. Like right now. Move over, Coxie. We're coming.
Right. Brian, had you heard that song before?
Never heard him, but I definitely checked it out, and the lyrics are amazing. So, yeah, yeah, this is going to be one new band on my playlist.
Yeah, so have you heard the rest of that album or Love Tiger or any of those?
I haven't.
Oh,
I haven't.
Dude.
So you got to check out Love Tiger.
If you're with just looking at your songs picks today, Love Tiger will be like one of your favorite songs
if
you listen
to
it.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
It's hard-pressed that you could say that about just about anybody. Hey, if your taste in music is good, you will love the song Love Tiger.
Yeah, pretty much. I've wowed so many people with that song by sending them that link.
So cool.
All right, well, so awesome. So we've got our picks out of the way. Let's talk a little bit about you. You know, you first came on the podcasting scene through being a contributor to our DBG VIP, and you did a Radio Sucks episode with us. And, like... So many people, it seems, that do episodes with us, then they go off and start their own show. So you are another bastard child of the Decibel Geek podcast.
That's right. I mean, you guys gave me the confidence, and it was so enjoyable, the experience. I couldn't have, you know, I loved listening to you guys, and it was kind of surreal to actually talk to you guys. And it was so much fun. And everybody had been saying, well, why don't you do a podcast? And I didn't want to do music because there's so many good music podcasts out there. I couldn't compete with the Decibel Geeks. And I didn't want to compete with my other favorites. And so I thought, well, why don't we do movies then? And I could, you know, possibly cross pollinate between the fans. And there's so many, you know, movie topics out there. So eventually Damn Good Movie Memories was born. And it's been a lot of fun. We've been doing it for over a year, and we have, you know, we have over 60 episodes now. And we just had a friend of the Decibel Geeks, Mr. Ian Wadley, Wadzilla, on the last two episodes. And he was amazing, of course. You never know what he's going to say, as you guys know. And he's a huge fan of Vinnie Vincent, as you guys, of course, know as well. So,
no, he is Vinnie
he
Vincent.
Is just
no
comment. That's right. But I don't want to go there because I know the Kiss Expo is coming. So
yeah,
we'll leave it at that. But definitely check out that episode on the Decibel Geek podcast. But
if
you guys would indulge me, I'd love to ask you a few of the topics that we covered on Damn Good Movie Memories. I think this would be really interesting.
All right, cool.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're down.
All right. So this was the very first episode we did. And I asked everyone, what is the first movie you guys remember seeing in a movie theater?
Oh, I remember three. And I'm not sure what order they were in, but I remember seeing E.T. because my Aunt Pam took mm-hmm. me to it. And then afterwards told me, E.T.'s in your closet. And I wasn't scared that E.T. was in the closet, but I was freaked out about dudes in white suits coming busting in trying to find them.
That was a pretty scary
part. So, yeah, she messed me up over that. And then my Uncle Pete took me to see Muppets Take Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
And then my parents took me to see Return of the Jedi. Them are the first three movies I can remember seeing.
That's awesome. This is so close because E.T. was the first one I remember seeing. I was taken to a drive-in with my family as a real small kid to see Empire Strikes Back, but I have no memory of that at all.
Yeah.
But I do. Right. I remember going to see E.T., and that's the first one I remember seeing, and I remember Reese's Pieces were brand new because they were part of the movie promotion.
Yeah.
And I was excited to get Reese's Pieces, so I got those as we went into the theater, and then I spilled them.
Oh, no.
And this is right as the previews are playing, and I threw a shit fit. I was a mean kid. So I like threw a fit, and then my parents almost took me home. So I almost missed E.T., but they were like, you know, either shut the hell up or we're leaving.
Wow.
And I shut up and I saw E.T. But you're right. The scene with the guys in the coat scared the hell out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And also when they're him and Elliot are really sick, it was just freaky. But that was the first one I remember. And I do remember seeing Jedi also.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because that's mine too. E.T. was the first movie I remember seeing. And it was such a big deal when it came out on VHS. And I think it was like 1988 or something like that. That was like the first afford actually purchase. You didn't have to rent it a million times. And yeah, E.T. was a big deal, I think, for everyone, you know, in our generation.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's right along.
All right.
Timeline.
So the next movie question we have is this is cross pollinating between music and movie soundtrack.
I'd have to go with Trick or Treat from '86, Fastway.
Oh, the favorite soundtrack?
Fastway, yeah.
That's one of my favorite soundtracks. 1994's Airheads. It's got the Ramones on it, White Zombie. Anthrax does a cover of a Smith song on there. I had no idea it was a Smith song. I just thought, this is amazing. They do a song called London on there that's really good.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then you get Motorhead teaming up with Whitfield Crane from Ugly Kid Joe and Ice-T. And so I always like that.
Born to Raise Hell.
Less Than Zero soundtrack. It's got Poison, Aerosmith, Joan Jett, Danzig, Slayer, and something you never hear me say very often, that really kick-ass Bangles song.
Was it Hazy Shade of Winter?
Hazy Shade of Winter. Yeah. I love that song. And I guess, oh, yeah, Music from the Elder. Soundtrack to a movie that doesn't exist.
An album that makes me hope for Stereo Bukkake.
Ew.
All right. I didn't prepare like he did for this part of the show.
That's the only thing I prepared for.
Okay. All right, so we halfway covered it. I guess if I'm just going to go off the top of my head for like ones that I like the most. The Crow soundtrack from the mid-90s had a lot of cool stuff on it. It's funny, I'm not a fan of The Cure at all, but the song by The Cure on there is great. It's where he's, you know, there's a whole long scene where they play most of that song. And then, of course, I think it's Plush from Stone Temple Pilots is on that.
Yeah.
I
think Pantera's on there, I think.
I think so. I just remember I had it and I used to listen to it all the time. Oh, and also Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that had a lot of great songs on it.
Mental Masturbation by Jackal. That's awesome.
99 Ways to Die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Megadeth.
Yep. Bullet, what was the anthem?
Yeah, my two favorites.
Oh, was it Looking Down the Barrel of a Gun?
Looking Down the Barrel of a Gun. Yeah, that's killer too.
Yeah, my two favorites are some of the classics. So the Blues Brothers, absolutely. I listened to that nonstop. And then the Rocky soundtracks, whether it be Rocky III with Survivor or Rocky IV with Survivor, or even the original with Gonna Fly Now. Those are by far my two favorites.
Oh, I forgot about Rocky IV, man. Some great – the Survivor, and then you got the song No Easy Way Out by Robert Tepper, the total one-hit wonder. And that song's great, and if you want to hear a great cover of that – Bullet from My Valentine does an awesome cover, and that's actually a bonus track. I should have fucking picked that song.
There you go.
Damn.
You're getting bonus tracks.
Yeah, I know. All right.
So my last question for you guys is, what is your favorite 80s movie songs?
You know, kind of guilty pleasures on these couple I'm thinking of. I was just recently listening to this, and so it stands out to me. Heavy Metal, Taking a Ride by Don Felder.
Mm-hmm.
I love that song.
That's a good one.
I don't listen to it very often. I heard it the other day. I was like, oh, man, that's, I forgot how good that is. And from the old James Bond movie from when I was a teenager, Duran Duran's View to a Kill.
Oh, boy.
I like that song a lot. I wish somebody would just do a, have a metal band that covered Duran Duran songs.
Because
them songs lend themselves to harder rock than what Duran Duran was.
There's got to be metal versions.
Duran Duran owed it to those songs to rock them out a little more, I think. But I love the song View to a Kill.
That's a good one. God, I bet you Robert Tepper with No Easy Way Out from Rocky IV. That would be the top one because it's a cheesy song, but I always love that song.
I like the Alice Cooper song from the Friday the 13th.
Yeah, Man Behind the Mask. That's a great one. Up the Creek by Cheap Trick from the album Up the Creek. That's good. Those are the ones off the top of my head that hit me right away.
Yeah. All the songs from the movie Detroit Rock City.
That's not the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not the 80s, is it? All the songs. Oh, I know. I got one. Here's the best one. Rip, rip, rip and destroy.
That's the 70s.
Close enough. Yeah, I can't think of any other ones off right off the top of my head.
I'm tapped out.
Well, I think of the movie Better Off Dead just for the claymation scene doing, you know, Van Halen's Everyone Wants Some. And so even though it wasn't specifically written for the movie, that is a classic 80s song. And if you love Van Halen, that's like required viewing.
I do. I do love Van Halen.
Oh, how could I forget? Sex Farm by Spinal Tap.
Oh, yeah. you can't go wrong with Spinal Tap soundtrack.
Poking your hay.
Those are some Dave Menichetti lyrics right there.
I think we solved the mystery.
Oh, man. This is fun.
All right. So you got it.
Awesome. That's exactly what the podcast is like. I just interview film buffs, and we do a different subject every week. And it's just totally off the cuff. It's a lot of fun. And some upcoming episodes we're going to do are like favorite movies based in certain cities, whether it be San Francisco, New York, Chicago.
Well, let's do a total plug for your show, like tell them the name and where they can find you and everything.
Yeah.
It's called Damn Good Movie Memories, and you can find it on iTunes, of course. You can find it on Podbean under damngoodmoviememories.podbean.com. We have a few episodes on YouTube, but anything involving music, of course, we don't put it on there. And anywhere you really find your favorite podcast, you can definitely find it there. But iTunes and Podbean are probably the main places to see it. And if you love talking about movies, you love hearing about movies, definitely check it out. And there's even an episode where I do an episode that isn't involving movies. It's just my favorite musical breakdowns. And it's kind of a tribute to the Decibel Geeks, you know, for having me on the first time and really giving me the inspiration to start my own podcast. So I can't thank you guys enough. And I'm a loyal listener. And even though I screwed up and I forgot that you guys did a Slave to the Grind, Albums Unleashed, you guys are weekly listening for me, and I never miss an episode. And thank you so much, guys.
Except for that one.
Yeah.
Except for that one. Obviously, I got to go back and listen.
It's the one you missed is the one you wanted to hear the most.
You failed the test. You're out of the club.
I know.
That's right. No, man, we always have so much fun when you come on the show with us. So, you know, it works in our favor as well.
Yeah, so come back sometime. And I'm going to end this show on a very upstanding, classy note. This is from Inside the Electric Circus by Wasp. This is a lovely little ditty called Douchebag Blues, and we'll see you next week.
This isn't the stuff we normally do for you guys that are buying this. This is what happens when you consume massive amounts of drugs and alcohol. Thank you. everybody.
How often is that? Fuck.
That time flies when you're in a coma, you know that?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.